Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. And coming up this hour, we're going to hear from the Manhattan Parks and Rec Department later on. We'll also hear from members of the Kansas Student Table in our second segment. But we're going to start things off today with Greg McClure, K-State Riley County Extension Ag Agent, joining us in studio today. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you again.
Boy, yeah, I feel like it's been a long time.
Has been a long time. Seems like to me, anyway.
How much rain did you get up north?
You know, I got an inch 85. What'd you get here in town? It sure looks like
I'm
you got
more. I'm
just
going with the official thing. You know, it's inch 95.
Really? Mm-hmm. You must have got it all in about a minute.
It came down pretty quick from what I gathered.
Yeah.
But there was some flooding issues. I've seen some videos of water just basically making Bluemont Avenue, a mini river.
Well, and you see mulch floated out in the streets here, so it must have hit.
Mulch?
Yeah, you know.
Not mulch.
That didn't happen in our house. It was nice, gentle. We're about 12 miles out.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know the location.
Do you have mulch on your farm?
Well, we do have mulch.
You have some
actually.
Mulch there around your house?
We do some stuff. I mean, it's my wife likes for things to look good.
Yeah?
I didn't put any of the mulch down.
Uh-huh. Does she put the mulch on you?
No.
Okay. All right.
I don't know what that means, but no.
She likes things to look good, so.
Oh, well, no, she's giving up on me.
I'm sure glad you tolerate me.
She gave up on me a long time ago.
Not that much. I'm sorry,
anyway,
I digress. Brandon,
anyway,
you were
nice,
here with like,
gentle
real stuff,
rain
huh?
at our house.
It's been pretty dry.
It has been pretty dry. You know, this is really pretty good timing for the ag world. You know, we weren't really in a hurry to start harvest yet. Mm-hmm. Need a little moisture for anybody that might want to plant wheat. This rain probably will do us some good to fill the soybeans yet. So, yeah, definitely going to help the grain sorghum. So this is a good one.
Yeah, definitely. It woke me up, but that's okay. It only woke me up about 20 minutes earlier than I would have normally gotten up, but that's okay.
Well, that's because you're in town where you got a real storm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was loud. Well, Greg's got a few different things he's going to touch on today, including we're going to talk about those little flags we keep seeing on the side of the roads.
Yeah, you know, I put that on here on my notes because I just thought it was kind of interesting for maybe the folks that don't farm. You know, you see these bicycle flags along the side of the road. You know what I mean? It's that 6 foot tall, like a fiberglass post, and it's got a flag on it. You know, the flags are, I think, something like 18 inches long and 12 inches deep or something like that. And so, you know, kind of come to a point. Anyway, those bicycle flags, you see them on a bicycle if somebody's doing their cross-country trip. It's that kind of flag. And so, but you see a lot of those on the edge of fields, not nearly as many as we should see. But the reason they're there is to flag the technology in the field. And so what that means is we have different herbicide technology, and mainly soybeans, but some in corn, but different herbicide technology. And so we have, and many would know that we've had Roundup resistant soybeans for years. Mm-hmm. And so what you want to be sure you don't do, you don't want to spray the wrong herbicide on that field. And so they've come up with this system of putting bicycle flags to mark those fields. And so the Roundup technology would be marked with a white flag. Is that what my notes say? So I honestly don't remember all the different colors. I have to look them up. But the white flag is the Roundup technology. We have Liberty Link technology, you know, so that'd be the next one that we were seeing. And you'll see quite a few of those. Those are a bright green flag. And then some of the others that you're starting to see. So Enlist is the 2,4-D resistance. That's a teal-colored flag. You see a black, or black and white, actually. So that's your Xtend soybeans, and those are dicamba-resistant. Many of us would remember that as Banville, but dicamba-resistant. So anyway, that's what you're seeing out there. And what can happen, in a couple hundred acres this happened to earlier this spring, is somebody either forgot what they had out there or miscommunicated to the sprayer applicator, and they hit it with the wrong herbicide.
Uh-oh.
And so that's the reason that those fields are flagged, is so then if that applicator shows up and that's the wrong flag, well, maybe I shouldn't unload this load of spray on this field and kill out the whole field. So that's what can happen. So that's why those are out there. I just think that it's kind of interesting to know what you're seeing and why you're seeing it out there.
Okay. Well, that's a good education piece there. Sure. Appreciate you bringing that in. What about crop conditions right now?
Well, you know, we talked a little bit. Yeah, this rain did us some good. As I look at the different crops that we have out there, I think the early corn, basically in the southern half of Riley County and south of there, is going to be real good because the timing was right for rains for when that was pollinating. The if you go clear north, some of that was a little bit stressed. I think it's still good corn, but some of that was getting stressed before we got that. Well, that was what, around the 4th of July, we got that 5-inch rain up there. Kind of hard to remember, but it was somewhere in that time frame. And so some of that was starting to get a little stressed, but I think we'll generally have good corn yields. Some of the later corn might not be quite as good because it didn't pollinate during that cool period. But again, we're going to have some good crops around here. Our soybeans look good. We've had rains at the right time. We want to get a rain while it's pollinating. And so, you know, when it's flowering, you get a rain, it cools down, pollinates better, and then the pods feel better. And so should be good crops, grain sorghum as well should be good. You might note that in the last, well, it's probably been 3 weeks now when we had the fall armyworm problems. So we did have some alfalfa and some brome that fields pretty well got cleaned by fall armyworms. I mean, they took it out. I even saw fall armyworms on a musk thistle. Now, I don't know if they were doing much damage to that thistle, but they'd eaten everything else in the field, and so now it's moved to the thistle that now is pretty easy to see because the rest of the field was cleaned. So those fall armyworms were interesting. You know, you heard about them in town, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't nearly as concerned in town as what a lot of other people were. Now, there may be some lawns that have permanent damage, but I thought, well, you know, they just mowed it a little close. That should grow back. In our fields, well, you know, mowing a little close, they ate the stuff that we were going to harvest for feed, so they did a little more damage out there. But again, those alfalfa fields and brome fields should grow back. So I think that'll be okay. But at the time we saw it, those worms were inch and a half long. You know, at that point, you know, they're about done, and they're going to pupate, and they're going to start another cycle. So there wasn't any reason trying to do anything about it once we saw that kind of damage. I did handle a few of Greg Eystone's phone calls that came in. People said, hey, there's armyworms down the street from me. What do I need to do? My response was, well, go spray your neighbor's yard. Keep them from moving to yours. I don't know how well that went over, but, you know, it's like, well, you don't have them in your yard yet. Don't do anything about it. But if you want to keep them from coming down here, just go kill his.
There you go. Yeah. I'm sure that goes over really well.
And they may have done it if they knew the neighbors well enough. I don't know how that turned out. Yeah. Again, those worms would have been big enough at that time. If they were seeing that kind of damage, they were behind the game. So it probably was too late to do anything.
Yeah. Well, Good to note there. And pests, are there any other pests we have to worry about here this time of year?
Oh, you know, there's always pests. But, you know, there isn't anything that jumps out at me until we get to wheat planting time, which we're getting close to. And so the one that we need to be thinking about is wheat curl mite. And so, and wheat curl mite carries the wheat streak mosaic virus. Mm-hmm. And so we do need to control volunteer wheat in order to kill the curl mites. So that's the story that we're always telling this time of year is you've got volunteer wheat out there. It looks like it's going to be cheap feed for cattle. You need to think about what it might be doing to the next wheat crop that's going to be nearby. So if there's going to be another wheat crop planted within a half mile or so, we need to control volunteer wheat, have that stuff dead and the field clean a couple of weeks before you're going to plant again. And so that's a real concern. Again, it's a curl mite, really, really tiny. You can't see the thing without a lens, without a, oh, I don't know, 10x, 20x lens. You're not going to be able to see it. But they're out there, and they carry the virus, and that's the way the virus is spread. We control the virus by controlling the curl mite, by controlling volunteer wheat.
Okay. I see here on your sheet you're going to talk about wheat varieties a little bit.
Or? Yeah, I think there's a little bit we need to talk about. You know, there's not that much wheat being planted in Riley County anymore. You know, we've made a pretty good switch to corn and soybeans. But, you know, I sold some $7 wheat here in the middle of August. Ooh. And, you know, that's an once-in-a-lifetime deal. It could have been twice in my lifetime if I'd been paying attention several years ago. And so the wheat price is decent, and maybe we'll have a little more planted. Just to mention a few of the varieties I like. So I like Monument, Grainfield, West bred, $46.99. And the one thing that I want to point out is, you know, those who've grown wheat for years, wheat used to be all public varieties. And so with public variety, you could grow it, you could plant it back, you could sell it. And so there was really no control over it. In the last, and I don't know if it is 20, 30 years, we've had plant variety protected varieties. And so most of them fall into that category to where you can still buy it, keep your own, and plant your own, but you can't sell it to your neighbor unless it's certified seed. Mm-hmm. And now we have, within the last 2 to 3 years, we're starting to see certified seed only varieties. So CSO, and that's to say that you cannot keep your own seed and plant it back. And so some of these varieties, and that, and the reason I point that out, this Westbred $46.99, really, really good variety, would probably be my favorite right now, is a certified seed-only variety. And so it's just important for the producer to know that when they're buying seed, if they're planning on keeping their seed and planting it back, well, that's maybe not one they want to do that with, because that's not going to be legal. And maybe so you may not want to plant that one. I think it's a good enough variety, I'd probably buy the seed and plant it. And so that's just the kind of the story that we need to get out there. Since so certified seed-only varieties are new in the last few years, we need to be sure that people know about them and know what they're doing, know what they're planting when they get ready to put in the next crop.
Okay, very good. What's the reason why we don't have as much wheat in Riley County? Is it, you said there was a switch
over? It's a matter of profitability.
I see.
You know, the price has not been good enough for several years. And we found that we can grow soybeans, we can grow corn. You know, we switched from grain sorghum to corn. It started working, and you can just get enough more yield and enough higher price that it's been more profitable to grow soybeans and corn.
Okay. Where else do you want to go? We got just a little bit of time left here.
Well, we should talk a little bit about wheat planting time. Mm-hmm. And so normally we talk about planting after the fly-free date. So Hessian fly is one of the problems that we can have in wheat if we plant too early. And so it's tempting. You know, here it is, the 1st of September. We've got all kinds of moisture. It's going to look pretty good in about, week 10 days? And say, well, gosh, I can just go ahead and start planting wheat. Well, that's probably not a very good idea. So if we plant too far before what we consider to be the fly-free date, and really the fly-free date is kind of a made-up date that kind of is based on temperature when they think that Hessian fly activity will decline. And so it's October 4th is the number that they give us for Riley County. So if we plant too far before that, we could end up with Hessian fly problems, which late in the season, so what you have is the Hessian fly laying an egg in the stem of the wheat, and then in the spring you'll have dead heads. Hmm. And so you'll see white heads out there. That could be Hessian fly. So that's the end result. And so we want to try and miss that. And so if you think the conditions look good on the 10th of September, well, unless that field is going to be planted just to graze, probably it's too early to be planting. Now, honestly, I tell you, the fly-free date is considered to be the 4th of October. You know, I get a little antsy, too. I'd probably start planting about the 25th of September if I was doing it. So I'd push the limit, but I'm not sure that that's the thing you ought to be doing. In reality, most of our wheat gets planted mid-October or a little later around here because most of it gets planted after soybeans are harvested.
I see.
And so that's the rotation that we're in here most of the time. And soybean harvest usually isn't going to happen until, the first week or the second week of October, and then plant wheat right back into it. And so most of the time, that's not a consideration. But it is for some of the people that have planted wheat and are going to plant the field right back to it.
All right. Good stuff. Well, Greg, anything else before we go?
Not unless you want to talk politics, and I think we decided we probably weren't going to do that.
Probably not a good idea.
So,
but I appreciate seeing you again, Greg. It's good to see you.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
All right. Stay tuned. We'll have members of the Kansas Student Table coming up next here on In Focus.